This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with good friend Cynthia Rutherford, who works for Renewal Ministries, a wonderful woman of God. She's a member of our parish. She and her family at Christ the King in Ann Arbor. Cynthia does all the layout for our newsletter. By the way, you can view our newsletters. You can read our newsletters for free online at renewalministries.net. You can also find our radio programs there. And Cynthia's been with us all week. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, she's been sharing her story about coming from addiction to sobriety and really encountering the love of God. And she's right in the middle of that whole transition. Her story's going to continue again today. But I want to remind you as well tonight, on EWTN at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's EWTN Television, Crossing the Goal is on. It's also on 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday and then Sunday night, and then 6:30 a.m. on Monday morning. Well, Cynthia, it's great to have you back.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be here.
Thanks for sharing with so honestly about your life and your journey. I think it's so important. Things you're talking about, in some way, you experienced the common human struggle in your own particular way and battling with it through addictions and other things. But one of the things that is common to all of us that you touched on, I think, a number of times is the fear of letting go and the fear of just taking off the mask that we can wear as human beings, the image we create for ourselves, the world we create for ourselves, so we can feel in control and we can craft an image that we can project to the world. And we often, in the midst of that, we're deathly afraid of being found out, you know, and even by our own selves, of being found, our own brokenness. We don't want to face it because if we don't feel there's an answer to it, or it's too scary, or it just feels too out of control. And then we don't want people to see it lest they abandon us because we're not as we've projected ourselves to be. So that's a very common human problem, a human struggle in our weakness. And Jesus comes to give us, put us in touch with our true identity and destiny. And so I just want to first thank you for sharing that stuff, but any thoughts about it?
You know, it's funny, in AA, we always kind of talk about being the imposter as something that is a problem of alcoholics. And since I've kind of expanded my worldview a little bit outside of the rooms of AA meetings, I've noticed that it is being an imposter and wanting to be in control are really traits that we all share. It's the same struggle for all of us. And I know that I am at my least spiritually fit when I try to be in control. And I start to realize that I'm uncomfortable because I'm wearing the mask. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking before the show, I'm not in that childlike place where I'm saying I can't. And God, will you? Because I can't.
Yeah.
I've told you before that I sometimes think that it was easier before I got sober because I was under the illusion behind my mask that I was in control and that I had created this reality and it was good, that I had done well for myself. Sometimes it's hard now when I start to realize that it's not always about doing, that sometimes I just need to be and wait on the Lord and wait for Him to do what needs to be done. I can honestly say that He has never let me down. He has never left me hanging. Sometimes I feel that He's leaving me hanging when He's not doing things the way that I think they should be done or in the timeline that I think they should be done.
Yeah. It's the letting go and taking the risk of living in the real world, you know, like living in truth about who you are, risking to take the mask off, and then stepping into trust. You say, well, if I step into trust, is there anybody going to be there? Mm-hmm. You know, is the Lord, am I making this up? Is God really going to be there for me? And even when He's done it in the past, many times we run into new challenges and He wants to stretch our trust. He wants to stretch us because He's preparing us for heaven is what He's doing. He's teaching us how to receive love, how to live in His love, how to live with Him. And He does that by leading us into and allowing us to come into circumstances in our life where we have to rely on Him even more radically. it's like sometimes we have to start all over again. Is he there? Can I trust him? Where is God? It's just so common for us to do that. So
yeah, it's funny because that's how he increases our faith.
Yeah.
And even after all the miracles that he's performed for me personally on a very personal, intimate level, it's still so easy for me to be tempted to despair or for it floundering in my faith. Mm-hmm. And it's a constant test. It's a constant trial. But still, every time he's rescued me.
Yeah.
So every time I've asked for help.
So we were, as where we left off yesterday, your sponsor in AA, after you told the story about what happened to you in the bar, would say, hey, you should have called me, you know. And so where do we go from there?
Well, so I continued to go to meetings and to do the simple things that they told me to do in AA, just living responsibly, living what now I might call a holy life. Mm-hmm. I had been trying to put others first instead of myself, which I found to be very satisfying. It made me so much happier with myself, doing service work and helping other women stay sober and just trying to be as responsible as I could to everyone around me. I would, every week on Friday night, I would sort of have a date with myself. I'd cook myself a nice meal and I would sit down and pay my bills because it was payday. And that was my way of being responsible to, you know, DTE or whoever it was that was providing me with a service. I would pay them in a timely manner. And one night I wrote out my checks and I thought, oh, I only have $13 to make it for 2 weeks. But everyone was paid, so I felt good about that. And I said, God, I wasn't on my knees. I wasn't praying, but I just sort of said, God, if you could, you know, see a way to help me with this and provide me with some food for the week. That's all I need is, you know, something to eat to keep me going. And in the morning, I got dressed to go to work and I opened the door of my apartment and there was literally a pile of money sitting in the hall in front of my door. And there was a note underneath it from one of my neighbors. I had brought a washer and dryer when I moved in. Mm-hmm. And I had asked, you know, I had allowed her to use it. And she wanted to pay me for the privilege of not having to go to the laundromat. So it was perfect timing.
Thanks,
and
God.
I laughed. I remember laughing out loud when I opened the door and I saw the money. And on my way to work, I stopped at the grocery store and I picked up some basics, eggs and bread and milk. And I said, just sort of jokingly, now, God, if you could just figure out a way for me to get some fruits and vegetables into my diet, you know, but I'll get by on these basics this week. So I went to work and I was running a home and garden store. And maybe 20 minutes after arriving at work, in walks one of my regular customers with a giant wooden crate full of fruits and vegetables for me.
Wow.
And I was just flabbergasted. I thought, you know, I saw that God had sort of a sense of humor. And he was obviously listening to me.
Yeah.
So that was another one of my little, you know, my little love stories.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Now, at the time, Cynthia, you were beginning to come to know God and trust in God. Who was the God you were trusting in at that point?
I still didn't know. You know, mm-hmm. I said in another show that I had asked God initially, if you're there, mm-hmm. show me who you are. Mm-hmm. And I asked for a personal experience. I wanted to know who this God is, not just if there is a God. Mm-hmm. I had been a regular attendee at the Zen Temple in Ann Arbor, and I really loved it there. I got so much peace out of going there. But after some time of being sober, I started to just have this inkling that something was missing. I wasn't feeling completely fulfilled, and I had this sense that there was more, and I needed to go find it. And I started sort of shopping around for a different place for my, you know, spiritual health. And I wanted to go to any church as long as it wasn't Christian, as I think a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of afraid of God. I tried all these different churches, and I wasn't feeling it. There wasn't any magic happening. And I said to this friend of mine who had initially introduced me to AA, mm-hmm. well, where do you go to church? And he said that he was Catholic. And I thought, oh, you know, I guess as a last resort, I'll go and check out a Catholic church. And I went to Christ the King with him, and I had no idea what was going on. I thought it was very odd because people were speaking in tongues, and, you know, I really didn't get what was happening at all. But I felt this intense surrender within myself, and I cried the whole time. I cried for an hour and a half. And when we left, he drove me home, and I cried all the way home. And later in the week, I said, I don't know what happened. You know, I sort of apologized to him that I'm sorry. I don't know what that was. But I think I'm going to go back there and just see what that was, see mm-hmm. if it happens again. And it happened again, and it happened again. And I knew that there was something there, something that I had been looking for. I felt like I was home, and I felt a lot of peace being in the presence of the Eucharist. And that was when I decided to check out RCIA and see if I might want to become Catholic. Hmm. It was a big, big turning point for me because I really started to feel like, oh, so this is who you are. I really felt like I had found the truth. Like I was digging a little deeper and I was seeking and I was finding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus has promised, seek and you'll find, knock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll let you in, and it just there's all kinds of biblical truths as you've been sharing your story that come to mind. Even the food story, I was reading Matthew 6, as you were saying, and Jesus said, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat and drink. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything will be added unto you. And it's you're sitting there thinking, gee, I have $13 left. That's all I have in front of me, you know. God, just let you know, if I could, you know, just it's really beautiful. I mean, it's an incredibly important discipleship moment of the Lord discipling you and shaping you as God is revealing himself to you. I mean, it's that personal, it's that intimate, it's that real. And it's life-changing wisdom is really what it is. And so anyway, so here you are at RCIA.
Mm-hmm. And I was proceeding through RCIA without any problem. I got a sponsor, a different good friend of mine who I had met in AA. Was my sponsor in RCIA, and I had some questions, and I think they're questions that a lot of people have about Catholicism, misconceptions about what the church teaches, and most of them revolve around sex. Most mm-hmm. of them revolve around premarital sex or homosexuality or mm-hmm. contraception and abortion. Mm-hmm. And these were sort of my big hang-ups.
Just got a few seconds left. Those are huge. Can we take these up tomorrow? I think it'd be really good for us to kind of begin the show tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would love to.
Yeah. And just kind of finish and talk about your full completion of coming into the life of the church and what the Lord's doing with you now with your family and
great.
Amazing, amazing kids and family. But thanks so much for sharing so honestly and straightforwardly about really the Lord's pursuit of you and also your own vulnerability and facing the challenges and fears that really, friends, you know, all of us face at one level or another. We can trust in God. And I hope that's what we can hear through Cynthia's story, that God is here, he's personal, he's real, he loves you, he knows you, and you can surrender your life to him and trust him. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.